Whoa. Thanks, Laura. And thanks, all of you. What a generous audience. Next up, we have Anastasia. She's a Seattle-based poet hailing from Planet Unicorn of the Rising Kick-Ass. She is a writer, playwright, abstract artist, and documentarian. She admires the Cave Canem writers, the Hedgebrook writers, Vona, Edge, and any artist who refuses to be categorized or stuffed into folders. I asked my girlfriends prior to this reading, I'm assuming they're my girlfriends now because I only met Anastasia tonight for the first time, but I mean, we're all friends here. So I asked them, you know, what do you think of this cultural trope that women and cats are always associated? And she told me that, you know, if her work is in any way influenced by cats, it's in the shared quality of the art of stealth, the sneak up, the push and pull. So watch out. Anastasia.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going? Laura, where are you? Oh, there you are. You're awesome. Don't apologize. You're awesome. Thank you for that. I hate to give disclaimers, but I feel like I need to, so I'll make it really quick. My poetry is not about unicorns either. It's heavy, but it's funny too. So please don't feel like, oh my God, she just said that word, but then afterwards it's funny. Should I laugh? Yeah, you should laugh. Yeah, you should cry. Like, it's okay. It's a free freaking country. Do what you want to do. Like, please, at least in this space, feel free to share your emotions. You don't have to wonder what you're supposed to do. And also this past year, I've been working on what I've been calling series poems, which I think we poets use that. It's like, I'm writing a series. But for me, it just means I keep fucking stalking the same topic, and I can't write about it all in like one setting. So I keep returning and returning and returning and returning. So then it's a series, and they're numbered. So that's what that's all about. So you'll hear some of those. You might be thinking like, didn't she say that title already? And your neighbors should say, yes, she did, but that was number two. So you can keep up and think like, man, she doesn't know how to name her poem. She's not very creative. So that's all you need to know about that. And could you give me, can you be like, okay, Anastasia, you're almost at your mark. So,
okay, sure will.
Okay, thank you. Don't do that. We have to hear our next poet. She's awesome too. But so just do remind me, because then that might be good. Okay.
I got you.
Once, pretty little hymen, they tell you to be wet but not cry. Do not open yourself up to weakness. Pretty little hymen, butterfly, pookie pooda, pretend like no one took you. Plie, like you gave yourself away, like you swirled you up and presented you on a floral platter. Pretty little hymen, teacup and chip saucer, imagine yourself safe. Imagine your walls 10 story. Imagine your high walls made of superwoman steel. Imagine your high walls made of steel with a sign which reads, pretty little precious hymen, blink yourself as a cat. Imagine yourself being pet only when you feel like it. Imagine yourself purring. Imagine you control the lights. Green means go, blood red means no. Pretty little baby, sweetie pie hymen, think of it this way. No harm can ever come to you again. No harm can ever come to you again. No harm can ever come to you again. So have you seen these Lay's chips? These chips with all the flavors? Am I the only one? Have you seen them? Are they Lay's? There's some chips with all these flavors. Okay, that's all I'm saying. New flavor, Bright red chip, the kind that stains fingers, tips, and tongue. This is not a hot Cheeto red kind of chip. This chip is 3-day period shade. Bright red chip does not crumb under pressure or crack down the middle once stilettoed or crocked. This chip's flavor is fuck off and resilience. Bright red chip, amalgamation of salt, tears, avocado bloom, and eye roll. This chip is much too fucking big for a snack pack. Much too bold to be cliche commercial where smiling black women say, you can't eat just one. Bright red chip doesn't dissolve in 3 chews. Feed this chip to your daughter and she will surely bye-bye her Taylor Swift friends and her stylish shoes. She might even wear purple combat boots. Her hair like Battlestar Galactica. Her spirit totem, kiss my ass of the rising sun. Bright red chip, feed this chip to your son and he may exchange his sneakers for tap shoes, his fat farm sweats for Langston Hughes t-shirts. Bright red chip won't make you swag like John or Lil Wayne. This chip needs no wag swag, make you act like an open field without any special name. This chip will haunt you like a memory of yourself, the one you never knew. The children are oh no about Boston bombs and fathers who suddenly stop fathering. The children think that their father is the original devil caught up in some fallen angel bullshit. Don't they teach you how not to fall? My children are sometimes not my children, all their private parts covered in pubic hair and CNN. All their believe what you hear packed away with Legos and pictures of them with jolly Saint Santa Claus. My children have told me to date because things just fall apart and they cannot be repaired. My children have told me that I am beautiful because they want me to be sunshine again and not down and down and down and down. I cook a rich meal made of cheese and cheese and cheese, try to get us fat again to cover up the fear inside our bones. My children talk in secret, but they never learn how to whisper. I can hear them saying words like, hey, him, we want her to get better. Why? I pretend that I am sleeping. Let them come and deliver strong kisses to my weak cheeks. The children are afraid to laugh, afraid that a bomb or disappearing father might rip their limbs. The children keep the laughing secret so as not to be let down, work on holding stern faces while they walk about in this world. Days of the week, Tuesday. You decide you need to get your tidy life in order for the messy apocalypse. You decide you must make it at least one zombie friend. Call the woman whose womb was emptied, whose husband sexed countless women, whose blood is dried tomato sauce and crumbled psalms. You decide you will make friends with her now because you know she will never die. When she tells you pain is far more dangerous than any disease, you know you have to take her to lunch. You know you have to invite her to your writer's circle, have all your friends hold their pens and ass cheeks when she says, write a 3-line poem about flesh. Wednesday, you do not tell anyone that it'll be all right. No rock-a-bye baby or tequila shots. You do not tell them about the lump, how it is silent, how it uses its eyes, how it says, come here. And you won't tell anybody just yet. You are ain't nobody's business if it is. And you will not cry yourself a river because you do not know exactly if you will swim or not. Thursday. The lump has decided it will not speak in front of doctors. When the doctor looks at it to say how long the lump is, it covers its ears. You decide you will be the lump's ally. You will support its case for wanting a new home. The lump would like to inhabit another body part. When you tell it no, it shrinks itself for the doctor. You shrink yourself for the doctor, and you leave feeling like your legs are made of snow, sometimes melting, sometimes firm. Friday. You and the lump have had a dove shower together. Your skins are pat dry, your voices are tired, and you don't want to ask the lump how long she'll be keeping quiet, and you don't want to tell her you've packed her fucking bags, and you take great hero comfort in knowing she will not be there. You hope. You take great comfort thinking she will not be worked for food, raped, or mistreated. Just removed. Just get out. Just outpatient procedure for hours. Just precautionary. Just microscope. Wait and see. You want to ask her what she's holding, if it's the kind of thing you can laugh about, or the kind of thing that you cry about. When you say goodnight, she offers you one final word. Wait. Are y'all okay? You okay? You all right? Okay, good. The children, four. The children have decided Jesus is not their homeboy, and they want everyone to stop asking what he would do in the case of premarital teen sex, in the case of abortion, in the case of prayed up super Christian woman raped in the back of a church and thrown into the back of a band. The children have decided Jesus knows nothing about romantic love, how it is or isn't supposed to be, to work or not work, because mama, he was never even married. He knows nothing about what happens when parents get divorced and one person is doing all the work. Because you see what I'm saying, mama? 40 days and 40 nights is nothing. The children have decided that if Jesus were their homeboy, he would eat hummus and olives, but not pulled pork sandwiches. He'd skateboard and smoke weed, but he'd rock a high top fade. He'd be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich of Muhammad Ali and the Dalai Lama, plus a crust of newborn baby and puppy. The children are confused about the disciples, on whether they were leaders or actually followers, on why Jesus and Judas didn't start a band, on why Jesus didn't just climb off the cross and beat the shit out of the people stoning him. Friday Azul number 5. I come from a family of chipped nail polish and loud fuzzy robes worn at 1 a.m. to take out Snooky, our dog. We don't mind so much the chips because that tells us we've been working, bitches. We've been working class sexy. Tells you if we wanted to be polished, we could. Tells you we are not, oh no, about our slender chipped fingers. It's after midnight, and we have time to do things with our chipped hands, and we only care about Nana's heartbreak pie, and pie is not an unfaithful lover. Wouldn't know an original gangster if it kicked them in the nuts. Too strong out on quick fixes and girls with golden arches. We have chips on our shoulders, too, and we know this. And it shows. And we don't care. And if we want to slam our skim milk and bag of panties on the Walmart conveyor belt behind our glasses, we don't care, because we earned it. And we earned these chipped nails. And if you want to say we're angry, damn right. Nannying your loud ass kid, teaching him how to count in his head, not on his hands. Little motherfucker is 6 and just learned how to say thank you. Scrubbing red wine stains out of your Pottery Barn comforter. Yes, we have chips. We have chips, our nails are chipped. Yes, there's a chip, and you like to say we're trashy because we shop at Walmart at midnight and call a Quick Trip hot dog dinner. You know what? Maybe we are just a bunch of trashy, chipped women trying to survive. The children, 8. The children have decided that counseling is a good thing, blah, 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 to someone who doesn't know their favorite kind of vegetable and that they masturbate at night might be aight. The children have decided that forgiveness is much harder than hating. For that reason, hate is a likely choice. Who has time to spend on forgiveness when finals are coming up? When the loop of life, it doesn't have much basis. You know, there's always a new Kanye song, and where is Jesus when you need him? The children cannot seem to get past the water to wine, want to know if the real Jesus had a glass before bed, want to know why the Bible never says if he had underarmpit hair, or if he shook his dick after a piss. I mean, does God need a dick, Mom? No, but he needed a vagina to come through. The children are head scratching about the difference between Jezebel and the woman who is a concubine to her husband. Is the woman fucking the husband a good woman because the wife asked her to do it? We are curious. This man does, and that man does, and what kind of man will we be? This is the question the children cannot answer, because does a tree know it is not fully rooted after or before it's tall? How am I then? Oh, wow, all right. Out, three. You think you might make the lyrics to Diana Ross's song, I'm Coming Out, as your Facebook status? You think people will think that's cheesy? You think Diana Ross didn't mean that song like that, but maybe she did. Maybe Diana Ross loves men and women. Maybe she wanted the whole world to know not. Diana Ross loves only men, you think, while you play around with the creative ways to tell the people you know who might react in the most unreactive, irreactive, stupid reactive way. You remember you are a poet, and you think you might smush it in a poem, make it a footnote, or write it in a fill-in-the-blank style. But then there is room for maybe, and hey, this is your life we are talking about, and you don't want any room for maybes or perhaps or I don't know, or maybe you do. Maybe you don't want people to know who you're fucking, who you wake up to, who you're thinking about, that you text dumbass animal jokes to in the middle of the day. Maybe you don't want the Facebook community to judge your current, you know, situation. Maybe you just want to keep your status saying something really mundane, like, today's a sunny day. Because does it really matter that 999 people want to know what your business is? I mean, do 999 people really need to know you're coming out? Do you tell the 999 that your insides fell out and you scooped them up and packed them in ice until you were ready to sew them back in? Do you tell them that part? You settle on a Facebook status that has nothing to do with coming out or going in. You settle on something that is midway to clever. You decide this is the best way to go. You search for Diana Ross's song lyrics anyhow. Last one. Out two. She calls you the biggest lesbian in Seattle. You secretly like this. You secretly feel like this is true, and it's so not true. You are not doing it to all the thespian lesbians. It's because someone has called you a lesbian. It's because this calling you something other than is a relief. Because you don't have to come out. You don't have to give a modern day, I have a dream fucking speech about who you were and who you are and where you are and where you're going, your philosophy on life or anything. You just sit back and laugh at the idea of being the biggest lesbian in Seattle. You're a 12-year-old hee-hee because you are a big lesbian in a very small way. You laugh because there isn't really a word for what you feel you are. You try to textbook who you are. You try to make a list of who you aren't. Not much has changed. I mean, you look twice before you come out of the restroom. No one wants to ever come out with toilet tissue on their shoes. Thank you.